Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. Very happy Friday morning, the 10th of July as well, if you're waking up as a Cats fan. Last night, 7 goals to zip in the third quarter to power over the top of Brisbane. 11-7-73 to the Lions, 6-10-46 at the SCG.
Looks arms to Adler. Adler inside 50.
And plenty of footy to come this weekend as well. Lots of eyes focused in on a couple of cities as we enter Hub Life for the first time. Good news for GWS and the Shaw family as well. With Heath taking the reins, he'll break the game's record.
At Shaw functions, weddings and all that stuff, I'll definitely be taking over as head of the family, which is the main thing. So definitely head of the table, dinner table, do most of the speaking, raising the glass, cheering people. So that responsibility has obviously been handed to me now, and I'm looking forward to that because I do enjoy listening to myself talk.
It was very good on Twitter yesterday as well. Heath Shaw, we'll bring you all the team changes next on the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6, half Whitey and Rammer to run you through your Friday morning till 8.30 when Michael Felgate takes over with Racing Pulse and RSN Central from 10.30 with Gareth Hall. On the Breakfast Club this morning, Phil Murphy from ESPN to have a chat about the resumption of US sport, Whitey 7 question quiz, the early mail. And then the Friday form, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn. Get your pens out. Another Ramarafi's leading last week. He is on fire at the moment, Dean. He'll be with Quinny from 7 to 7.30. Then Hamish Hartlett from Port Adelaide and Boomer Harvey to finish your Friday morning on the Breakfast Club with the Friday footy preview. Let's start, though, with the footy from last night. A lot of other sport to get to as well, which is pleasing. We haven't said that in a while, but let's start with last night. After Geelong prevailed 11-7-73 to the Lions 6-10-46. Patrick Dangerfield was outstanding playing through the midfield last night, just about best on ground, and a couple of interesting things to come out of the game as well, including a couple of injuries for Quinton Arkell and Mitch Duncan, which was early for the Cats, but they responded in the third quarter, kicking 7 goals to nothing to run out winners last night by 27 points. So a very nice win for Geelong. Let's hear from Chris Scott, the coach, after the win.
We were something like 2 inside mids down about 5 minutes into the game. So I thought in the first quarter we hung in okay, but there was always the concern that Brisbane were going to have momentum at stages in the game, and we were a little bit short, needed to shuffle our numbers a bit, but hung in there a little bit in the first quarter. And when they got on top in the second quarter, there was, you know, the real possibility the game could have got away from us. So I'm just really proud of the resilience of our group to hang in and believe that we could turn the tables, even though the odds were against us with those important inside mids out of the game. So I thought it was pretty slippery. And it became a little bit more of a simple game. And look, I'm not going to give my opinion on who was sort of harder around the contest, but I'll just speak about our players. I thought that our guys inside the contest really stood their ground well and were able to one-stop Brisbane when they had the momentum in that second quarter, get a couple of goals to get us back into it. But after that, really capitalise on some of the strong work around the ball. I thought that's where it was. It wasn't so much outside the congestion, even though we scored okay when we did get it out there. It was really the team that was going to win the ball inside that was going to have the advantage. When you lose 2 guys who are important to your structure, you're going to have to lean on the others. And when we talked about certain guys moving positions, but we held our nerve a little bit and kept our backs in place. We've got a few guys we think can play up in the midfield, but I mean, Sam Menegol has been a good player for us for a long time, but his performance didn't surprise me one little bit. He's just a bona fide AFL player. And Sam Simpson has been just on the edge of our team for a long time. And there's a fair group of them, actually, that have, through no fault of their own, found themselves out of our team at the moment, but I suspect they'll play. So it gives us great confidence that Sam could come in and do a job. I think there'll be others over the course of the next 4 to 6 weeks that will do a similar thing. That's our hope, anyway. I guess we thought it was going to be tough. We weren't in the position we would have liked to have been at half time, but it could have been worse. Those couple of goals later in the second quarter really helped us. I thought it was a win full of merit. I thought the odds were against us. To a man, our guys found a way to fight their way through it. Yeah, we're really proud of them.
There we go. Chris Scott after last night's win. As I mentioned, a couple of injuries. Narkle and Duncan with hamstring injuries. Narkle's hammy was quite high up as well. So hopefully both of those injuries aren't too serious. Mitch Robinson with a bit of a quad issue as well. McCluggage went off for Brisbane with that shoulder injury. Hopefully he's okay. That didn't look good at all. Really grabbed at it in that second contest as well last night. Let's hear from Chris Fagan after the loss.
It wasn't just Dangerfield, it was their whole team. I mean, the stats around contested possession and clearances and centre-bounce clearances and being that third quarter were just out of this world for Geelong. They played a fantastic quarter of football. I got to admit, didn't see that coming. I thought at half-time we'd been the better side in the first half and probably didn't take enough of our chances in front of goals, whether we missed the shots or we had other chances that we sort of mucked up and they never ended up going through the goals. But it was certainly, danger was one of them, but it was the collective group of Geelong midfielders that dominated clearance and contested possession in that quarter. That hasn't happened to us in a long, long time, and it did tonight. Geelong, to their credit, put the clamps on them reasonably well. We need, every other game, we've had a massive contribution from all of our midfielders, and today it was left to too few. So it's the way footy goes sometimes. We'll learn a lot from that third quarter, I should imagine. It was so out of the ordinary for our blokes to play like that in the third quarter. And you're right, Tom, you look at the other three quarters, and in those key areas we were competitive or just in front of our opposition. But in that third quarter, it was just an astonishing quarter by Geelong, and all credit to them. Defensively, they were good too. I mean, we had 5 days, so that's something unusual for our group. We did that once last year against Collingwood. So this young group hasn't had that experience all too often, but I wouldn't be using our preparation as an excuse. We trained well during the week, and, the trip down was fine.
Chris Fagan after the loss. We'll run through all the team selections a little later in the breakfast bite and hear from a couple of the main players. But just before we finish footy for the time being, the rules discussion almost erupted yesterday. Luke Beveridge with his thoughts on the holding the ball interpretation, how that was changed in response to Alistair Clarkson's comments a couple of weeks ago.
I just wish the people involved in the game would just take a breath and before they criticise the game. And to make sure that we hold our nerve and don't change rules and adjust things on a whim. You know, you need more than a one event sample size to force change, and we're too quick to flinch, and it's not helping the game. And we had a flinch last week, and we don't need any more. Clarko's got every right as a statesman of the game to have his opinion and put that across. But it's up to the powers at AFL to work out whether or not they flinch, and they flinched. So, we need to be better than that.
Luke Beveridge there speaking yesterday. Had some interesting comments on the Breakfast Club a couple of days ago as well. Head to rsn.net.au or download the podcast from your podcast store to have a listen to what he had to say about the overall shape of the game too. After that press conference yesterday, Alistair Clarkson was asked to respond.
There'll be some in the game who led to believe Hodgie might have been one of them that said, oh, well, one person's influence shouldn't be enough to change rules. But if I was significantly influential, then things would have changed 5 years ago when I spoke after the Western Bulldogs final, and nothing's changed since then. So if it has changed a little bit in the past week, I'm hoping it's for the betterment of the game, not necessarily just for the betterment of the Hawks. I hope people can see through that, all that, and say it's been asked or pleaded in a sense that it's for the betterment of the game, because I think the game will open up a little bit more if the whistle's blown just a little bit more.
Alistair Clarkson speaking yesterday. More footy to come later on in the breakfast pipe, but let's head to the other sport from last night. And what about this from the Sydney Roosters? So Brett Morris, their winger, who's a gun, went down in the warm-up. They replaced him with a man who hasn't played essentially since March, and Ikavalu scored 5 tries, the first man to do it for the Roosters since the 1950s. What a replacement.
Lamb to Keary to kick for Ikavalu's looking for 5.
Not often you see that in an NRL game. Audio there courtesy of Fox Sports. Let's have a listen to Trent Robinson on the depth being tested at the Roosters, considering they're in the same situation as the AFL with no second grade competition.
Yeah, it was really pleasing. So, I mean, obviously situations are a little bit different now without reserve grade or teams playing underneath you. So we had two guys tonight that played a lot of minutes and played a pretty key role in the way that we played that haven't played since March, I think, or yeah, so early March. So I was really proud of staff and our sort of our reserve crew there about being prepared and then ready right from midweek to get the call up in Lachie Lamb, and then obviously not long before the game for Matt Ikavalu. So that was really good.
Fair effort, indeed. So the final score there, 42 points to 16. Ikavalu scoring 5 tries in a big win for the Roosters. Meanwhile, the Melbourne Storm are in action tomorrow night in Canberra. They'll face the Raiders, 7:35pm kickoff. So good luck to Cameron Smith and co, who will play, of course, the next 3 home games, in inverted commas, up on the Sunshine Coast. So back into the hub next week after their journey down to Canberra on Saturday. Let's head to the cricket world now. Now, this is fascinating with Michael Hussey. A few suggestions yesterday that Victorian cricketers might have to themselves head into a hub for pre-season and even the start of the domestic season here in Australia. This is what Michael Hussey had to say about that on Fox Sports yesterday.
It's a really difficult one for the Victorians, and I guess, you know, that they have to consider it, you know, that they're going to have a really good close look at it, because, yeah, obviously these guys would have started all their pre-season training, and the preparation phase is really important for a lot of these guys, well, for all of the players coming into a new season. You don't want to start the season well behind the eight ball, and so it's a crazy year. We've never experienced anything like this in the past. These guys are professional sports people and need to prepare as best they possibly can. Now, some might argue, well, being away from your family and your home comforts, it might be detrimental to your preparation. So this is something that I'm sure they're going to have to weigh up, but something has to be looked at here so the guys can get their volume of training and preparation work done in the lead up to the season. So let's hope that it doesn't come to this and they can still do their training more on an individual basis at this stage. But as it gets closer and closer to that domestic one-day tournament, then I think it's a strategy or something that they're going to have to look at. So I guess let's watch this space. But they're going to have those contingency plans in place.
Michael Hussey speaking there yesterday. So that will be an interesting development over the next couple of weeks. Cricket Victoria with some decisions to make, obviously. Good news if we're waking up as Australian cricket fans overnight. England struggling at Southampton against the West Indies. Last night, all out for 204 in their first innings. So that's huge news. The best of the Englishmen was Ben Stokes with 43. But Jason Holder got his wicket along with 5 others, 6 for 42 for the West Indies captain.
Jason Holder again.
Keep walking. I love that from the West Indians after Ben Stokes was trudging off after top scoring with 43 for England. All out for 204. The West Indies in reply, 1 for 57. So a fairly steady start. They trail by 147 runs, currently going at just under 3 runs and over. So nice steady start. Braithwaite is currently 20, not out at the crease. And Hope is 3, not out. Campbell was dismissed by Anderson LBW. He made 28 from 36 deliveries. So good luck to the West Indies. That should be very interesting viewing tonight, flicking between that and the footy. Before we get to the ad break as well, just to update you on a little bit of NBA news from yesterday, this was Patty Mills. He is going to go and play in the NBA hub, and he made this announcement on social media yesterday.
I've made the decision to go to Orlando, and I'm proud to say that I'm taking every cent earned from these 8 games that we're playing, which for me will turn out to be $1,017,818.54, and donating that directly back to the Black Lives Matter Australia, Black Deaths in Custody, and to a recent campaign that's called the We Got You campaign, dedicating to ending racism in sport in Australia. So I'm playing in Orlando because I don't want to leave any money on the table that could be going directly to black communities.
Patty Mills speaking there yesterday in the US, donating all of his money towards black communities in Australia. So a very noble thing for him to do as he enters hub life for the remainder of the NBA season. Not too bad, though, to have a hub in Disneyland. That'll be good fun for all of the players. Time for a break at 12 to 6 on your Friday morning. On the other side of this, we'll update you on the live golf that's happening at the moment over on the USPGA Tour, some F1 and all the rest of your footy news ahead of ahead of the next round, but we've already started round 6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to the show, 9 to 6 on your Friday morning. Just before we head back to the footy and run you through all the ins and outs for round 6, let's check in with the golf, where there's quite a few Australians doing well this morning, which is good news for everyone. This was Stiff by Ricky Fowler a couple of moments ago.
Ricky Fowler, his second at the third.
Win.
Oh! Hit the car.
I did like that. Oh, in and out. So he remains at even, but he's still got 9 holes to play. The leader at the moment on the PGA Tour is Adam Hadwin from Canada. He posted a 6-under opening round, so he's the outright leader. Just to update you on a few of the Australians, going a little bit better this week. 3-under for Matt Jones, 3-under for Jason Day. They're both in the clubhouse. Mark Leishman is 3-under through 11 holes. Cameron Percy's 1-under through 5. Aaron Baddeley finished his round at 2 over the card. Cameron Davis finished at 3 over. But the Aussies as a whole doing a little bit better in the Workday Charity Open. So that is good news for all of them after perhaps a little bit of a disappointing week last week. In case you missed it before the break, live sport from overseas as well, overnight with England and the West Indies going head-to-head in the return of Test cricket. England all out for 204, the West Indies 1 for 57. And staying in England as well, just to update you on the EPL, Bournemouth and Tottenham drew 0-0, Everton and Southampton drew 1-1, and Manchester United currently lead Aston Villa 1-0 away from home at Villa Park. So that would put Manchester United just 3 points outside of the top 4. Meanwhile, Tottenham slipped down to 9th place on the ladder, so they are a long way off Champions League qualification. That ain't going to happen for them this year, but they'll still hope to get into the Europa competition, which they're about 2 or 3 points off, so that's still well within reach. Let's head to all of the footy news from yesterday. We might start with a bit of amusing news. Riley O'Brien accidentally posted his game notes and match notes on Nick Natanui to Twitter. He quickly realised the mistake and took full responsibility himself, the big Adelaide Ruckman.
My phone has decided to cark it, and I've had an absolute mare on my social media today. It tweeted some of my game notes in my notes on my iPhone. That I take these notes every week before the game to try and pump myself up and get a bit of confidence going into the game, make a few things up, as you can see on the notes, to try and give myself confidence. Coming up this week against probably who I think is the best ruckman in the competition at the moment, Nick Nat, I was just trying to get some confidence and get going. So I've really put the pressure on myself now. So I've really got to walk the walk this week and try and get a kick against the superstar that is Nick Nat. So we'll see how we go.
Outstanding by Riley O'Brien, who did mention that Nick Nat was unfit and lazy. So he'll be wanting to do a fair bit of running this week. Very smart man, Riley O'Brien, too. I think he got about 99.7 in his VCE. So he is an intelligent man. But as he said, he'd had a mess on social media. Good luck to him as the Crows face West Coast. That match to take place tomorrow at the Gabba. We'll run through the teams in just a second. Meanwhile, Heath Shaw, as you heard before off the top of the show, becomes the games record holder in the Shaw family this weekend. And he spoke about watching some Bruce Lee documentaries.
I was watching a documentary last night on Bruce Lee, and it was Be Water. And the theory behind it is that you just adapt to the environment that is, and water. So if you put water in a cup, the water becomes a cup. And if you put water in a bucket, the water becomes a bucket. And that's sort of our program at the moment, and the way our routine and our week to week is. We just got to adapt to what's coming at us and be water. So.
Are you water, Heath?
I think the human body, we're like 80% water anyway, so we're nearly there, but just thought a little bit of philosophy for you guys. I thought you might like a bit of Bruce Lee. Yeah, he's an impressive unit, Bruce Lee. There you go.
He always brings something different to the table, Heath Shaw, and didn't think we'd get Bruce Lee documentaries into any round six previews, but we did, which was great work by him. Congratulations on his milestone game this weekend, as he said, becoming head of the Shaw family. To John Worsfold now, he gave what is basically a weekly update on Joe Danaher.
Well, he won't play this week, so that's as much as information as I can give you on Joey at this stage. But, yeah, he's enjoying his training program at the moment and coming along well.
So does that suggest that we'll see him in a couple of weeks or 2 or 3 weeks playing at scratch match level?
No, that doesn't suggest. That suggests he's not playing this week, and he's progressing pretty well. Yeah, he's obviously following a program that that means each time he stretches himself further, whether that's in total volume or in change of direction and a number of sprints and things like that. So, yes, it's mapped out, in a lot of detail, and we just keep following that. And if we get to a point where he can't or he doesn't pull up well, we'll just take half a step back and keep progressing that way. But at the moment, we're really pleased with the way everything's tracking.
Let's head to the team selections as the teams came through late yesterday, and Collingwood bringing in a debutant there, or a couple of debutants. Atu Bisenavalagi will play his first game along with Isaac Kenner and also Will Kelly. So great to see a couple of debutants for the Pies. Jordan DeGoey is out. Josh Dacos is injured and Tyler Brown has been omitted. For the Hawks, they'll also play a couple of debutants. Will Day and Josh Morris will play their first games for the Hawks. And in comes John Patton after a cooking incident, which is still amazing. And Harry Morrison will also return to the lineup. Harry Jones out, Jack Scrimshaw is out, Mitch Jones is injured, of course, with that hamstring injury, and Sean Burgoyne has been rested. Fremantle and St Kilda take on each other tomorrow at Metricon. Akers, Collier, Cox and Fife in for the Dockers. Conker's injured, Hogan's injured, Logue's out injured, and Demand has been dropped. Jones in for Hanbury, the only change for the Saints, who are $1.37 favourites at tab.com.au. Ainsworth and Cameron in for West Coast as they face Adelaide. Jones and Shuey are both out injured. Shuey, a big loss there. For the Crows, McCoy, Mackesy, McPherson and Stengel all come in. Murphy has been suspended. Taylor Walker is injured. Crocker and Pahulki have been omitted. Andrew McPherson, the new player there, 21-year-old from Woodville, West Torrens. Melbourne and the Gold Coast, Ben Aljetta, Oscar McDonald and Wiedemann come in. Hunt, Rivers, Tomlinson dropped in his fourth game into a four-year contract there. And Smith as well. Bailey Fritch will play his 50th game. The D's are $1.72 favourites against the Suns this weekend, who are $2.15 with tab.com.au. Fiorini and Rankin come in. Can't wait to see Rankin make his debut this weekend. Highly touted draft pick from last year. Raoul is injured, of course, with that shoulder, and Powell has been omitted. Essendon and North, McKenna and Merritt come in. Stringer injured, and Redman also out of the lineup. He's been omitted. Ahern, Campbell and Scott in for the Roos. Cunnington, Williams and Sherry go out of the lineup. That's about it the extended squads, of course, named for Port Adelaide and the Giants, Richmond and Sydney, and Carlton and Western Bulldogs. And we'll have the latest on those squads for you on the RSN website when they come through, the final teams, at about 5:30 this afternoon. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. Enjoy the Breakfast Club. Halfway and Rama to take you through. Then we'll fly in plenty of winners with Dean Lester and Nick Quinn at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to tuning in to RSN Central with Gareth Hall from 10:30. And Mick Sharkey will join Michael Felgate from 9 a.m. as well to find you all the winners at the races tomorrow at Crawford. Looking forward to what is going to be a huge weekend of racing and sport. And we'll chat about it all on Monday.